Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Gresh and Fourier.
High fly into left center field. This thing is way back, and it is gone into the monster seats. A three-run homer.
The Red Sox blow a 5-0 lead. They fall to the Orioles.
It's that time.
Gresh and Fourier, right now on WEEI.
This is what Gresh got me doing. You want to just, you going to stay? You're going to go. Yeah.
I Greg wants me to, thank him. He's sticking around right now because he wants me to thank him.
I'm happy to end the show at the time you want the show to end.
Why is that? Why is that? Why do you have your entire show, like, walking up on me, starting some trouble? Why do you have Courtney attacking me in the hallway?
Well,
you have Wiggy yelling at me.
By the way, Courtney is an adult. She does what she wants to do.
I thought you told her what to do.
Did I tell Courtney
what
to do?
Yeah, I thought you told her what to do.
No,
that isn't true?
I don't tell. No, is that? Did you had you heard that or something?
I wasn't sure.
Oh yeah, no. I think I said to them at the end of the show that we had to get out of here
because
you get butthurt if our show ends a couple minutes late. Well, so I don't know. I mean, is that the issue?
It's kind of more of a respect thing than anything.
A respect thing. Okay.
Yes.
I can tell you're all worked up about it.
What got me worked up is Ken's approach towards talking to you. Ken sends you a message saying that I'm butthurt, I'm cranky, I'm uptight about how late you guys get off the show, how you guys end your show.
No, I think he just said if you guys could end the show at 54, it would make Fourier happy. And so I said,
wait, did he really say that?
Yes.
He said it would make Fourier happy.
Yes.
Okay. So now Ken and I have to have a discussion. Now, Ken and I have to have a discussion.
I mean, why?
I don't like the way he's running things.
You don't like what he wrote? That's something you should take up with him.
I have.
You don't like what he wrote about you in a text message that wasn't sent to you?
I am
well,
happy
I don't like
to...
Maybe it's being replayed. Maybe it's being,
exaggerated a little bit.
Maybe a tad bit because he knows how I am a little cranky when it comes to not getting my show on time.
I understand that.
You have a formula that you think we should all kind of like understand radio. You were just telling me about it.
I don't have any formula if you would like our show to end at 9:54, I will end it every day at 9:54.
I would like to start our show at 10.
Okay.
I would like, I think the afternoon show would like to start their show at 2. I think they would appreciate that. So we spend countless hours making sure that we give them their show right when their show should start.
That's what you spend countless hours
Countless hours.
Okay.
Countless hours how I can give them their show right at 2.
Is,
so all the information and jokes that I have.
Does it take countless hours to get?
Fourier's running the show tomorrow since I'm away. Uh-huh. So if you really want to get persnickety with him,
I happened to be out driving around yesterday, tuned in for the final break of your program.
You were riding around yesterday.
And it did not. It did not end at 1:54. It ended at 1:56. So I was just that
you're on
that
a delay.
That confused.
You're on a delay. You're on a delay.
That confused me.
One, you're on a delay. You're on a 30-second delay. Two,
they had to power everything up at Fenway. They needed an extra 5 minutes.
They had to reset
minutes.
At Fenway.
Things happen.
So
things
we
happen.
Personally
I was
had
confused.
To.
I didn't even know they were at Fenway yesterday.
I was listening to the break, and if I remember correctly, Gresh, you were there for it. The one person who extended the break was this guy.
No. You know who is the? You know who's the show extender?
Who?
You know? No. Wiggy.
Well, yes.
You know, Wiggy. This is Wiggy's move. Oh, yeah. One more thing.
Yeah. No, he does do that.
And it's like I'm sitting there, and I'm trying not to obsess over it.
Yeah.
And I'm doing my best.
Yeah.
But it is a thing. But I'm going to therapy for it.
I don't want
I'm going
you
to therapy
be,
for
I,
it.
Listen, I don't. You're my guy. I don't want you to obsess over anything. So I will end the show at 9:54. From
you
this
promise.
Point on, I
you
promise.
Promise. You,
I promise.
You're giving me your Greg Hill word.
That is my promise.
So you will not allow Wiggy to try to hijack the last 3 minutes
maybe
of the show.
We could shut his microphone off for the last break.
Should I apologize to Courtney?
No, I don't think she cares.
So I feel like she kind of was a little upset at me.
I don't think
was
she cares.
When you passed
what
her?
About the – no, I think Courtney's
okay.
fine. But what about the 2 minute – get yourself rock hard or whatever live read you might have that could extend a minute and a half even if you get out on time. Speaking of extends.
So my live reads are too long, and so that's your assessment.
So Fourier is going to jump on that.
Yeah,
I'm just telling you.
I could
because you can get out at 9:54:15, and then you know the metal roofing turns into 2.5 minutes at the shed.
I will work on that as well. And perhaps, should we lose that revenue, I'm sure you'll go out and replace it for the company.
There you go. Flex on him.
He just flexed on you. How about this? If we're gonna go down that road, I didn't know you were giving away free advertising on 2 minute live reads.
Well, I mean, I do the read based on the copy and try to make sure that we get results for our clients.
Of course.
Again, that's probably something that you know better
of course.
Than I do. I have no idea.
Well, if it takes an extra minute, then maybe you should break at 9:53:14
then.
We
could do whatever you would like.
Because we're hitting the objectives and the goals
when your show starts,
making money.
When your show starts at 10:02 or 10:03, what happens? What is the negative result?
Oh, it just gives me extra time to go pee.
No, I mean, what's the negative? What's the negative result?
I don't know. I know is that. There's supposed to be certain things going on that are being tried out or whatever that are to coincide with the end of your show and then to what we would do to try some things. And I don't know if all of it has been communicated to everybody or whatever. And now we have bickering in the hallway going on over 60 seconds.
Yeah.
It's everything matters.
Yeah.
It's like the new sayings. Everything's important.
All right.
I think it all matters. But maybe it doesn't. I don't know.
I'm getting on a plane at 7 o'clock. I'm not worked up over any of this. Y'all can do your whole thing.
Are you going anywhere? Just
a UFC 300 for the weekend.
Oh, okay.
Do whatever you want. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Listen,
You do what's best for the Greg Hill Show and the people that are on your show. You guys do whatever you want. I'm not ever going to say anything about it again. But I don't want anybody coming to me asking for advice on how to do things. And when we talk about things, if we're going to talk about it, then let's do it. Don't come to me and talk about it then.
Nick said we hit the open, I think, at 10 straight up or something like that. I don't know. That was today. Nick's just reporting. I have no idea.
10 o'clock straight up.
10 o'clock straight up. That's right.
Yeah.
Right. Fourier should be happy.
Well, I think it worked. Fourier should be happy today.
I love you.
Okay. All right. So
I love you.
Yeah. You don't have to apologize to Courtney, by the way.
I love you.
Yeah, you don't have to apologize.
I love you.
No, I love you too.
I love you.
You and I are. I'll do anything you want. I don't care. Whatever helps. Whatever you want.
Okay.
I will.
Can we replay this for Are You Done? That way we know we'll get out on time and then we don't have to worry about
it. Have a great show.
All right. Goodbye.
Oh, man. Bye, Grego.
Tomorrow's going to be a real hoot.
See, you've now put a target on your own back for tomorrow because
fine.
You're running things. And if you get
totally
off,
fine.
If you get off at 1:55:15,
it won't happen.
You know you're gonna. You
it
know what you're gonna hear. Your phone's gonna ring, and on the other end's gonna be.
Nope.
Yeah,
it won't happen.
I can tell time. I got clocks.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen. I will tell you
I
the
will
time.
Say, nobody wraps a show up faster than Christian.
Right. Nobody.
It's like, okay, we're leaving. Bye.
Bye. Well, that's it. See you next week.
Well, that's because at 1:54:15, the automatic starter on his car automatically turns on, whether he's out there or not. So the car is warmed up and ready to
go.
Like Chesterfield is upstairs now waiting for Greg in the SUV, but you've now slowed his departure down on a Thursday. So now Chesterfield's going to get to his next, delivery stop late. It's a master's party. There you go.
And they are playing right now as we go. Here's your honorary start.
Shime goes to a different kind of master's party. Finish
Shime. Look at Skinny Shime.
All right. Well, there you go. How you doing?
Hi, good morning.
Welcome to Gresh and Fourier.
Well, listen, I just...
You were...
I'm not,
listen,
I'll tell you what.
You
were, I'm
not... You were a teapot.
I wasn't
you,
a
you
teapot.
Were, you
I
were,
was not. I actually
you
was
were,
in a good mood.
You were right before you walked in the door. Because I got a quick phone call and I was over near the thing and
you
I
heard
could
me yelling?
See... Like, you know what it is? Like, you know, like when Popeye back in the day, and he'd eat the spinach and it would all, like, go through his forearms and it looked like he was ready. I felt like with you, if I had turned around at the right time, it would have been like a little bit of steam blowing out of your ear, like a teapot on a stove.
Courtney's comment didn't rub him at all the right way.
You know? Oh, I was ripping
into her.
Because
we were in such a good mood, me and Christian, because we were discussing art films from the 80s and 70s.
Oh, you mean films that were tastefully done.
Yeah, tastefully done films of the 70s.
Yeah, well,
the 90s.
I walked out of with my coffee in a great mood. I got hit
mood.
With some, like,
Courtney
just
said,
shrapnel.
Where are you? And that kind of set him off.
Yeah, I was like, oh, no. No, not right now. Not going to happen. Because it's obviously a thing now, so it's going to keep being a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I should either just learn to kind of put up with it or do something about it. And I usually tend to do something about it. That's kind of my issue.
Yeah, that's not an issue.
So
it depends on how you go about it.
Well,
that's
the
real.
I thought I was going about it the right way. Hey, listen, hey, guys, we're got this whole thing. Hey, can you guys do this? We're trying to gather all this data, right? Trying to see if this is even going to work, if it's a thing. So let's make sure that we do things like right on time to make sure the answers are correct and there's not, you know, weighed differently based on, you know, how the clock works.
I think what the problem was is this was probably the very first time that they nailed when they should be out, and they immediately were like, hey, we're out on time. So it's like they did it once and we're expecting the gold medal because they did it for Fourier.
Well, yeah. Well,
I mean, that's the thing, too, is that they're making it for, like, hey, if we did it for you. I think that's what bothered Fourier, too.
Oh, it was the way, we did it for you
I think
type
the way
thing.
It was addressed to him is that it made him feel that it was directly at him.
Well, I was the one bitching and complaining and sending as many subtle messages as possible based on information and directives that I was given. So.
Yeah, I don't complain.
This whole, I thought we were all in this together.
We are.
I thought we were all like, okay,
we
what
are
we doing then?
We are. I just, it was interesting to listen. And
listen, I'm okay.
It takes is a simple email from the corner office to say, hey, everybody get out on time. There you go, done.
Yeah. Because it's, I'm just going to let it go. Serenity now.
You know what? Here you go.
I wish I was going on vacation
hold on.
Right now.
Let's go into insanity later then. The Red Sox lose 7-5 after blowing a 5-0 lead. And, I mean, oh, God. Could it have happened almost more perfectly, let's say, on a Sunday after a win in Anaheim, when a sort of comment is made about Sweet Caroline and being, you know, losing in the seventh inning and here comes Sweet Caroline, everybody's singing and all that kind of stuff. And the Red Sox blow the lead in the top of the seventh inning yesterday.
Did they play? Did they do the Sweet Caroline thing? Did they do it?
Yeah, well, of course.
Okay.
It's because it is a part of Fenway tradition, by God. But yesterday with Jones and Mego, Alex Cora stopped by. And they got a clarification, little further explanation, because there was no real video out there of the Cora comments because they were on the West Coast. It was just the writers. They transcribed everything. So you lose stuff like tone, demeanor, things of that nature, where if you heard Alex Cora say it, you might look at it a little differently, right? Or you might say, oh, okay, he said it tongue-in-cheek or whatever. So yesterday with Jones and Mego, here was the clarification, or really the background, from Alex Cora.
Well, let's start with the fan bases. If I live in California and my team is coming here in the summer to Boston, I'm going to circle that up. I'm going to Fenway Park. I will. You know, it's kind of like, you know, our families, like, oh, we're going to Wrigley this year. Let's go to Wrigley. You know, that's I mean, if you love baseball, that's what you do. So it's nothing different. I think I can give you an example. In 21, the last series we played against the Yankees, they had like 50% of their fans, you know, here at Fenway. And then we would play the wild card game. Mm. It was all us. You know, that's what happened. So that part, you know, is where we at. You know, as an industry, people will travel. We haven't made Fenway uncomfortable, you know, and we, I mean, us as players, as an organization, and obviously the fan base, you know, we play well. They're going to show up. They're going to be loud. They're going to be drinking beer off the boot and all that stuff. It's going to be wild. But when you play games like that yesterday, well, Sweet Caroline is going to be Sweet Caroline, you know, whatever. You sing it, pop, 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 and then you leave, you know. We want fans to stay here, but it's up to us to play at the level that is expected, not only here, but at this level, and hopefully we can do it.
Hey, that was a non-answer on the Sweet Caroline thing. The only thing I took away from that was we got to make Fenway a tougher place to play. That's what I took away from that, right?
Has it changed over the last 3 years?
In what way?
Well, okay, because Fenway's always been this experience. It hasn't been labeled an experience, right? I've never heard ownership, management talk about Fenway Park, baseball games, that area as a Fenway experience. And I've, you know, and then there's this long history of sellouts and, you know, home field advantage. And suddenly it feels like that's disappeared. Is that over the last 2 to 3 years that has just happened where they've said, okay, listen, I feel like we're losing, fans. I feel like people are losing interest. We need to turn this into a Fenway experience in order to maximize our potential with this ballpark.
Yeah, I think you're on it in two ways. It's the investment they've made in the ballpark, which has been significant. Go look at the ballpark and what it looked like in 2004 and look at it now. There's a lot of changes that have been made to Fenway. But I think, Christian, the thing about Fenway is that it's recession-proof. And fans aren't going to get mad at the ballpark. Fans will get mad at the players. Fans will get mad at the manager. Fans will get mad at management. But the ballpark is sacred. It's the one thing the Red Sox can sell that will never dip. Now, the question is, I'm almost like Gerard Mayo-ing it now. But on the other hand.
Yeah, well, that's a line.
What is the ceiling of that? Like, how long does that last? Are you going to get repeat customers who are just okay with the product the way it is? And, you know, would your brother fly in from California and say to you, oh, Christian, while I'm here, I need to go to the experience of Fenway Park? Because it's not, hey, do you want to go see a Red Sox game? Because if the Red Sox are down, you might say, no, they stink. Why do I want to go see them? But if it's positioned as, hey, brother, do you want to go to Fenway? Ooh, sounds different in your mind. It's almost reprogramming people. Did I go too deep on that?
No. I mean, it's almost like they're the victim, or the Red Sox are just a victim of circumstance. They're just a victim of their, like, if Fenway Park was torn down, condos replaced that area, and it was put on the water somewhere, put in a different area. The stadium was bigger, more parking, easily accessible.
Had they got the new Fenway built,
that's
10 years
like,
ago.
Okay? What Yankee Stadium did, right? They just build a whole new stadium.
Looks similar. Okay, here
we
go.
But it's not. It doesn't have the same allure.
Right.
Okay, so it's
it
not,
loses its charm when you go new.
So when of course, we mentioned Wrigley yesterday.
Yeah.
And so Cora mentions Wrigley, the only other one. The other thing that you would do would just be destinations, sunny destinations. Hey, like they do it in football. Hey, they want to go to Vegas. They want to go to, you know, L.A. They want to go to, especially if it's a winter game, a road trip. Hey, we want to go to Florida. You would do something like that. But the fact is that I don't remember losing. I don't remember this being a thing years ago. Even when they had a bad year, then they would have a bad year, then they win a championship,
year, right.
Have a bad year. Like, they kept doing that yo-yo thing. I don't remember that ever being talked about, like, losing the home field. Like, they're losing home field advantage.
Well, do you think that there is some sort of intersection and crossroads of the Patriots and Red Sox on the whole got to ride high for about 20 years, and now they're kind of finding out how the other half lives a little bit, except there's still 2.5 million people going through the turnstiles at Fenway. Like, I feel like the fan attrition could happen within years for the Patriots, whereas you know, you'll see some empty sections. There's no question. And when the team isn't good, but that's why I think it's the whole sell the Fenway experience, because it's the one thing, really, it's the easiest thing that the Red Sox, I guess, can control. Because they don't know if Rafael is going to turn into a top-flight player. They don't know if Trevor Story is going to stay healthy. They don't know if Yoshida is going to be a long-term guy who, you know, rakes forever, right? But the one thing they know they can sell is Fenway. And sinking more money into Fenway is less expensive than it is sinking money into players. As crazy as it sounds.
So the attendance yesterday and for the Red Sox home opener was like whatever capacity was.
I think it was banged out for the home opener on Tuesday.
3,658 or something.
Whatever
like
that number lands
and,
on.
And
it
then
moves.
I think yesterday it was a 10,000 seat deficit.
So it was
10,000.
So there were
less.
26,000 people
yeah,
there. Or
I think
whatever,
that was
on
around
the announced.
Roughly right.
Yeah.
So there was an obvious. Just, you know, and still the weather was nice. I know it wasn't opening day, you know, their home opener, but
right.
The interest had left.
No, I think there is Boston interest, and then there is comparing it to others in MLB. Whereas if we look at 2.5 million people maybe walking through the gates at Fenway, in Cleveland, they would kill for that every year. You know, like the Red Sox have it's almost like the Red Sox have a floor of – here's where our fan number is going to come in every year, between, say, 2.3 and 2.7 million, something like that. They got a window that they can kind of work in. And look, when the Yankees had the new Yankee Stadium, guess what? They were halfway decent, I do believe, if I remember correctly, whenever they repurposed that building down there. Like, they were good. They were okay. So you went to go, at least then, see the team. And then it was, oh, there just happens to be the new ballpark here. Whereas here it's the inverse, because really after what we've seen against the O's and better teams, it feels like the Fenway experience might be the way to go. There will be a Celtic hanging around for what will be the Fenway or the TD Garden experience. Does sports have a gambling problem? I know this is my last day of the week. Mike Gorman's final regular season game is on Sunday. We should, you know, talk about Mike a little bit. I also want to ask Fourier at 11 o'clock, why do we romanticize Tiger? What is it about Tiger Woods that has people crossing their fingers and hoping he's relevant on the weekend and that he wins another major? And Fourier and I have been working very hard on the top 10 list of things Gerard Mayo can't say. They eliminated Do Your Job, but there are more that Mayo must wipe out of the vocab.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, more Gresh and Fourier
on WEEI.
Oh, and by the way, our countdown is Shaquan.
Wait. Oh, that's right.
So, Coop, for those of you watching on Twitch, 10:31, Gresh and Fourier here with you. We do have clocks in the studio.
I guess that they took it out.
I don't know what happened, but our countdown has been completely messed with. $10 shake, RIP Jim Croce. Good grief.
Mm. Is that for me, by any chance?
What, the time in a bottle or whatever? Yeah. So we're at, 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks from today, we will be in
lovely
Detroit.
Has anything changed?
Ready for the draft.
I saw another another tweet from another person from the draft community. Acknowledging, bragging really, that they too have watched every single throw, every single play of J.J. McCarthy. Because it goes from J.J. McCarthy to Bo Nix.
Well, there weren't so many throws from McCarthy, so that didn't.
Well, that probably took like an afternoon, right? Like,
yeah, you would.
Like a
maybe
quick.
A couple
yeah.
hours,
and if you
maybe.
Watch the Penn State game, you're probably just, you know,
fast forwarding through some of it. You can watch it on 1.5 speed on some of those with J.J. McCarthy.
So I wonder, how valuable watching every single J.J. McCarthy throw would be for you if you're a scout.
if you're like if you're a member of the draft community, if you're a member of the All 22 crew, I wonder how much you're getting out of that. Or are you going to like splice it up and just look for third and long situations? Right? You're going to look for third and four or more. And you would have to kind of make sure you pick a team that's really good because how do you really judge them? You don't know. You have no clue. What'd I do?
No, you didn't do anything. Oh.
This is breaking news. Breaking news on WEEI is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
All right, I am on the official Twitter of one Arenthal James Simpson at TheRealOJ32. And they just posted this. On April 10th, our father, Arenthal James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer. He was surrounded by children and grandchildren. During this time of transition, the family asks you please respect the wishes for privacy and grace. And it is signed, the Simpson family. So this is from OJ's real Twitter, where we've gone on and, you know, gotten like some of the videos and things like that. February 9th. He tweeted hospice, and he's in a car giving a video. And then there was February 11th, and then this one that was just posted. So it appears that O.J. Simpson has passed away, according to his own Twitter. And Coop's got the tweet up right there. I bring this up because O.J. is a complicated legacy.
I was just going to ask you, how do you feel about this?
You know, it's interesting because you and I are relatively in the same age group. You're 52, I'm 49. So there was OJ the player, and you grew up in California. So I can only imagine what OJ meant out there to people, considering the connection to USC and all that stuff. He was in Hollywood, as we know. He's going to be remembered as, for a lot of people, it's going to be the most famous guy who got away with it. In the minds of some. I remember being at URI and the whole trial is going on. And my man Sherrod Williams, who flunked out of URI twice, but is now gainfully employed, and I love him. He's my other brother like Nelson. Whenever they announced that OJ was not guilty, he was like, come on, let's go get in your car and ride around and yell the juice is loose. And he did. And Sherrod was in the back of the, of course, we're 20 years old, not even, riding around. And he's yelling the juice is loose. The juice is loose. Because at the time, and let's be real, do you know where you were when that all went down?
I'm glad you asked me that because I do think there are certain situations with people our age, guys our age, right? If you ask them where they were on 9/11, they'll tell you. If they,
I know where I was. I was on the air.
Yeah, I was in Seattle. I just woke up, and we had missed it because it's a three-hour time delay, and I was going to get – it was a Tuesday because I was trying to get, like, a massage after a game.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it a Monday? Maybe I don't remember. The other one is OJ on the loose in the white Bronco. I was in Boulder, Colorado at this outdoor, like, you know, a beach volleyball, Boulder Creek party.
Yep.
Right. And then when the verdict came in, I was in Seattle and practice was about to start. And Dennis Erickson was so into the whole, like, you know, who won, like practice started late. Everybody was in the training room. Everybody was
huddled around like
two small TVs, not like the setups that they have now.
Like the old ones.
Everybody was everyone went into the training room, and it was weird. Like the announcement is made,
mm-hmm.
and then everybody's like, "Well, okay, well," and then we went to practice. It was like so the verdict. Everyone's screaming. Yes, you have people screaming, people moaning, and then we went out to practice, and that was it.
It's one of those moments I think for a lot of people. Where, and you kind of touched on it, you remember where you were when. And I think there were two parts of that OJ story. It was the white Bronco chase.
Yep.
Because it was going on during NBA action.
That's right. There is.
They broke is, it.
That's
they
right.
Bro- if I remember correctly, yes. It was, oh, here's the NBA game up in the right-hand corner. We're going to follow whatever's going on. But the other networks went to, like, full-blown in-the-air coverage. Now, this would have been in a time where, for me, Christian, it was late 89, like, basically early 1990, where I'd moved to New England, right? So, for me, it was just a whole new world of being here in New England and stuff like that. But as soon as the OJ thing went down, it was a lot like you. It was the huddling around the TV, watching it all. You're talking about it with everybody. And then I remember being in it was Heathman Hall, if I remember right. You know, it's 30-some-odd years ago or whatever, where I was living with those guys. And it was kind of the same thing. And the eruption in the dorms that I remember of people like, oh, my God. We have a guy just texted into the text line of the 860. I was in school, and all the teachers were sad and upset that he got off.
You know the other one.
How about this one? Just quickly, the 413. My middle school played the verdict over the loudspeaker.
What?
Wow.
See, a lot of younger people won't remember the space shuttle explosion.
Mm-hmm.
We had a, because that was the other one. It was the 9/11 space shuttle. We had like a TV rolled into our like whatever in our classroom. We were watching it, saw it live, freaking out. Wait, that's not supposed to happen, mm-hmm. right? Then there was 9/11, which obviously I think most people know where they were when that happened. And then the OJ car chase, and then the OJ verdict.
Mm-hmm. Those were the two.
And a lot of people, and then the other thing is, so I say, hey, how do you feel about this? Because it is a conflict of emotions. You don't see it anywhere right now on TV. I haven't noticed it on any ticker. I haven't noticed anybody breaking news.
Oh, yeah, and they got the Masters coverage on. So I think, and I don't know what's on behind me.
First take is
on. You would think that they got to have Stephen A. talk about this, right? Or is this like such a powder keg for some people that they don't want to? You have to talk about this. This is one of the biggest sports figures for good and bad in our lifetime.
Would you say OJ is polarizing?
A text came in right away out of the 401. You want to know how polarizing it is? If you ask me, he died 25 years too late. Good riddance. That's pretty polarizing when people are saying, I wish you were dead in 2000.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you think about it, when you really break it down, and it was the Rockets-Knicks finals.
That's it. There you go. Rockets-Knicks. Good job. Yeah, Rockets-Knicks finals. We'll never forget it. There are a few sports things that are really kind of like burned into my brain from being young. One was when Mike Tyson got knocked out. I found out from Craig Sager because it was during NBA All-Star Saturday
Buster
night.
Buster Douglas,
sorry. Yes. Yeah.
When Buster Douglas knocked out Mike Tyson.
Yeah. I found out from Craig Sager because I was watching NBA at the time. And I remember him, I think, being like, you're not going to believe this, folks, but here's what's happened in Japan. And it was like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? Like, I remember that whole deal. I remember the OJ stuff. There are just certain things that are kind of ingrained in your sports brain. And, you know, again, he got away with it. So you can look at it one of two ways. You can say it was either terrible prosecution or, hey, it was heard in front of a jury of his peers and they said he isn't guilty. I don't know. Everybody believes what they're going to believe. But what's forgotten about is this was really after Jim Brown, the next great running back in the NFL for a period of time. This guy ran for 2,000 yards in the 70s when you could hit people, when you didn't have to give people phone breaks, when you could, you know what, when you made them practice all the time, all that stuff. Like this guy
ran
for...
Yeah, but like Jim Brown, he had a post-football career that was pretty substantial, but it still wasn't as identifiable as Norberg.
Murder normally trumps all.
But I'm talking about his film career afterwards.
Yeah, Jim Brown wasn't hurdling chairs in an airport for a Hertz commercial.
Yeah, it was Hertz, and then it was Norberg from the Naked Gun series.
How about this? The 413. I think I remember my mom making popcorn to watch the Bronco chase. That was one of the more real memorable moments in television. And you lived in California. You were used to the whole helicopters flying over, right?
It was
for
crazy.
Us, we were like, wait a minute, they can follow these police chases like this? So there was half the country, you know, Des Moines, Iowa woke up and they were like, oh my God, I don't know who they're chasing, but this is unbelievable television.
Yeah, and for me, it was like one of those weird things. Oh, I know that street. Oh, they just passed. Okay, that exit. I know where that goes. Oh my God, they're in Brentwood. Oh my God. Oh, okay, right down the street. I was like, holy crap, they're in Westwood now. What the hell's going on?
Were you like, damn, he should have gone left instead of right. Where's he going?
Crazy.
It really is.
How many people are still around from that?
Oh, from...
Well, who was the guy, AJ Cowlings? Wasn't
no,
he the guy...
Al Cowlings.
Al Cowlings.
I think he's still with us. I'm pretty sure he is.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see if they cover it because he is kind of toxic.
Al Cowlings is 76 years old.
Yeah. Sorry, so he's trending. OJ is now trending. And so is Warren Moon for some reason. That is weird.
Isn't that weird?
I was like, why is he trending?
Some video from a desert city has been unearthed from 30 years ago. That's why Moon's on the spot. What is going on here? So some thoughts on OJ as well. It is a complicated legacy. And then he also became a guy who just made videos on Twitter. Hey, Twitter world.
Hey, Twitter world.
It's me, yours truly.
I loved his fantasy picks.
I mean, oh my God.
I think we do OJ voice more than we do Glenn voice now.
Oh, definitely. Because the last time you did the Glenn voice, somebody was like, who's that?
I know.
My fantasy team is 1-4.
Yep. they were not good. We will get to sports and the gambling stuff that's out there. But that OJ news, so 76 years old, I do believe, OJ made it to. He lost his battle with cancer. Mike Gorman is hanging it up after this season. It'll be a busy weekend for Mike. Then come the playoffs, then retirement. But who's on that sort of Rushmore Boston sports play-by-play voices? We know our guy Castiglione is. Gorman's got to be on there. What about the other two? We'll walk down that lane next.
Remember, you can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker.
Just say, play 93.7 WEEI.
Now, more of Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
So the Celtics have three games left in the regular season. Tonight against the Knicks, tomorrow against the Hornets, and then Sunday against the Wiz. And it is the final regular season weekend because you don't really know how the playoff schedule is going to land. So on Sunday, it's really going to be Mike Gorman Day over at the Garden. And it should be, quite honestly. Mike Gorman, for those who have followed along, and for you, I know that you weren't watching Big East basketball in the early 80s out in California, but you know, in the real early days of the Big East Conference put together by Dave Gavitt, Mike Gorman was really kind of the voice of the Big East on their basketball television network. And, you know, there's the whole Providence College ties. Mike worked at the radio station that I first started at down in Providence in the 70s and whatnot. So Mike was really a radio guy that kind of, you know, made it in TV, so to speak. But for the real old school fans of the Big East, you remember Mike Gorman all the way back then. And then it was Mike and Tommy on, and how many people remember this? People like Nick won't. I don't think the under 30 crowd will. But you remember Sports Channel New England. Here's Mike and Tommy on Sports Channel New England with Celtics basketball back in the day. And then, of course, that morphed into Comcast Sportsnet and all that whatnot. But I was really lucky, Christian. I got to do a football game with Mike Gorman once, and I've told this story before. It was at UMass whenever they were still, I think, in 1AA or whatever, and it was the old stadium. They didn't even have the new stuff, any of the new stuff built, none of that, and I think it was on a NBA lockout hiatus or something to that effect, and they sent Gorman out there to do a UMass game. And he walks in the booth, and I'm like, Michael, this is unbelievable, because I know Mike a little bit.
You're a little starstruck.
No, it was more of the, I walked in and he was just sitting there and he was like, all about you today, kid. Here we go. And literally it was turn around, shoot the open, boom, done. No one has done more with less than Mike Gorman. And I think it is finally, Christian, starting to settle sort of like it's like sinking in that it is done for Mike. Here's a little bit from Comcast Sportsnet on a chat that Gorman had with Chris Forsberg about the end being near for him.
That's the moment that frightens me. Yeah. The moment when there's 60 seconds left in game five of the playoffs, Celtics are up by 15, getting set to move on. And I know that my last words are coming out on the air in the next 60 seconds. I honestly can tell you I don't have any idea what I'm going to say.
Pretty amazing. And think about it, 40 years.
I know.
It's even more than that.
I know. The only guy you do kind of wonder, you know, you think about, you have obviously Joe Castig, you know, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
You have the other guys that I think of are just Gil and Gino.
Gil and Gino, yeah, and they're enshrined in the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Playing a pop-up.
There you go. Thank you, Joe.
Castiglione to the Baseball Hall of
Who
Fame.
Who else is there?
Well, I think for hockey.
Tommy.
Well, and that's the thing. If you include,
go duos.
Well, but that's
we should go duos.
Well, and there you go.
Best Remy local
and
duos.
Is
see
up there.
I know there's Remy and Orsillo, but for a lot of people,
ooh,
unfortunately, but and I love Donnie O and have known him for the days
Lou
back in Pawtucket. But think about it. There's a whole generation of Red Sox fans who are be like, who's this Don Orsillo guy? I mean, I hate to say it, but. Like, well, when did he leave? 2013, whatever it was, 2014, something like that.
15 or 16?
Well, it was after a year where Nesson decided that he was the reason the ratings were bad, which is just so on brand for Nesson, but nevertheless. And maybe you do have to think about, because it's hard to think about Mike Gorman without automatically connecting him to Tommy Heinsohn. But I don't know if they're, you know, Gil and Gino would have been the other duo that people remember. But I think for, like, hockey fans, you kind of got to go back in the day. I don't know if right now there are a lot of Bruins fans who are of the, well, you know, Jack and Brick are fantastic. They go more of the kind of the 80s pairings. I mean, hell, and I learned this, you know, working with Gil when he was alive. Gil called Celtics games on TV 38. He did, like, hockey and stuff like that. There's been a little more transiency, I guess, with the Bruins. But look, you know, the only time you can really honor someone properly is to know, okay, this is at least the end of the regular season. Anything else we get are bonuses with Gorman because you don't know when the end is near. But it's really great that the Celtics are, you know, the players have spoken about it as well. He's just a wonderful person. You know, I hate to say this. This is a business full of really scummy people. On the whole, if we're just going to be real about it, there's a lot more bad than good when it comes to a lot of the people in this business. And Mike never became one of those bitter olds who was like, no, I'm not going to help the youngs or I'm not going to do this or whatever.
Well, he had tenure.
I don't have my telestrator today, but here comes a pizza. See it?
I mean, the Orsillo-Remy stuff is fantastic, but a lot of that's on Remy. But anyway, I hope Mike Gorman has a great call and hope he doesn't cry. He's going to lose it on Sunday because they're going to honor him. And he even mentioned in that thing with Forsberg, he gets weepy at commercials. And so, you know, maybe you'll see a 70-plus-year-old man
or
cry.
He may not say anything.
Or he'll just stand there and be like, thank you, and drop Mike, and that's it?
That's it.
That would be something. When old man Fourier hangs it up, meaning you, when you get to an old and you get to walk away from a microphone, have you thought about how you're going to do the mic drop or something like that?
Well, I mean, there are some people who have given me some inspiration. You know, LB. You know, the way he walked out.
I figured you would. I figured you would just like you know, it would be almost like a Family Guy deal. You would stand up, grab the microphone, and just fart right into it.
I'm done.
Just
and there's that. There's that.
Dunsky, and then you walk out.
That would be more on brand. That would be more on brand.
Definitely more on brand. Do we romanticize other athletes like Tiger Woods? Think about it. We'll get to it next with Gresh and Fourier.